The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Joining us now is Peter Kenny, CEO of Clearpool Group, with nearly three decades of experience at the New York Stock Exchange. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Kathleen.
So let's start with the stock market today, the stock market this week. Where have we gotten or not gotten? Is it sort of a case of full of sound and fury signifying nothing at this point?
It almost feels that way. I mean, the volatility this week has been just really, really disruptive to anyone looking to hold on to a thesis that we're finding any sort of traction to build a rally off of. But that said, we did have a nice reversal higher yesterday. We did see some follow through in the overnight, particularly in Asia. Some stability in the EU and European markets in spite of the uneven economic data, and some more follow-through this morning. Now, it's certainly nothing to hang your hat on, but at the end of the day, we are being led higher by the NASDAQ, followed by the S&P, and rounded out by the Dow Jones Industrials. The fact of the matter is also that we are seeing some fairly broad support for the market. I mean, yesterday, energy sector is really what led the market higher. Today, it's flat. Consumer staples is just down marginally, but everything else, every other major market sector is positive, and we are being led higher on the day by healthcare, traditionally a defensive name or sector, but still nice to see.
So did the FOMC minutes make any difference to traders and their strategies, you think, Peter?
Well, I think the FOMC minutes, Vonnie, were pretty much in line with expectations, and I think part of that was the prep work done by Governor Dudley the day before in terms of the bullet point release. I think he gave the market a sense of where we were going to be going with the Fed minutes. They really confirmed the broad expectation of what Fed policy was. In other words, no really significant change, and verbiage that kind of spoke to those themes that indicate that inflation is not an issue, that tapering will continue, and that the markets are just going to have to get accustomed to that new sort of reality that we've been experiencing over the last three quarters. And clearly the markets have sort of gotten acclimated to that.
Well, does the stock market then have to really take has it taken the training wheels off when it comes to the Fed? In other words, it was so much of a trade-off. Mm-hmm. Is the Fed going to taper? Is the economy going to be strong enough for them to move the key rate up sooner or weak enough that they won't move it? Is the Fed really on the back burner? And now guys like you and, you know, people who trade and invest just have to say, well, what are the fundamentals? What are the technicals? And what do they really mean for stocks?
Yes, that's exactly right. We are at that inflection point where now pricing in equity markets is reverting back to its historical norm of earnings, valuations, guidance. And quite frankly, markets haven't been accustomed to that. Markets have gotten very used to the sense that there's that backstop being provided for by quantitative easing, by enormous liquidity in the markets. And with that dissipating, markets are beginning to start getting more acclimated to what we used to have, which is more of a more historical perspective on the markets, which is really predicated upon earnings and real work. In other words, you know, people getting paid to do research and work. Without that backstop, that really sort of, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats sort of thing.
Well, speaking of earnings, what did you make of this earnings season? Because we did have, you know, probably three quarters of the companies that reported beating, you know, on the bottom line, but revenue still wasn't there. Just about half of the companies that reported beat on revenue estimates. And they were all lowered estimates, by the way, too.
That, exactly right. Lowered estimates, lowered earnings. And we did see beats by a wide margin in the S&P 500. But it certainly wasn't the type of earnings season that gives people the sense that Q1 was a quarter that was going to be able to provide the sort of enthusiasm that we needed to see any sort of real engagement for the market to move higher in a meaningful way. I mean, we're largely flat on the year, but that said, what we have seen is the sense that there's been some acceleration in growth. I'm talking broad economic growth here in the U.S., and as a direct result of that, we will start seeing that reflected in earnings going forward. So though Q1 earnings season was hardly a cause for celebration, We did see some data that would suggest that the trend is very, very friendly.
So where are we going to see leadership in the stock market, Peter, in terms of industries and that leadership being, you know, continuing the bull run or maybe pushing stocks lower to, you know, have another little mini correction?
No, I've been cautiously optimistic on the market in spite of the volatility. And I think if we continue to see this accelerated improvement in economic data, that will be borne out in earnings. Consumer staples, I'm a dogged believer in the real estate market, in spite of the fact there are some significant headwinds, not the least of which is the inability of people to afford what's out there. But there are signs that pricing is flexible and elastic, and that pricing is getting to a point where that supply demand curve is I think beginning to tighten a bit. So we are going to see I think some support for the housing sector, consumer staples, materials. Clearly, if we do see an uptick in GDP both here in the U.S. and globally, which IMF and many large banks are calling for. Those are three areas that I think that you could see outperformance.
Peter, we also wanted to have you on today. It was Kathleen's great idea because we wanted to mention Duncan Niederauer retiring, or at least retiring from his current role as CEO of NYSE Group. This as Tom Farley takes over following the merger with ICE. What kind of a difference will this make? Is this an end of an era?
I do think it's an end of an era. Duncan is an extraordinary leader. He stepped into the New York Stock Exchange CEO position in 2007 at a time where there was just an enormous amount of rotation going on in the industry. With the advent of heightened technology, with a shift in market structure, with the fact that the agency auction market was becoming increasingly less relevant, he managed to really bolt on the necessary components to the New York Stock Exchange that really helped the New York Stock Exchange gain traction in IPOs, kept the agency auction market engaged and relevant, and was really able to, I think, effectively take on some very, very serious challenges as a CEO and drive value for the brand. So, I mean, I have an enormous amount of respect for Duncan. I've known him and consider him a friend. I've known him for years. I think he's done a remarkable job, a really remarkable job. This transition to an internal fellow is Thomas Farley is, I don't think, going to change the direction of the changes that have happened at the exchange over the last 5, 6, 7 years. But it's more a question of the ICE's imprimatur on the brand. And, of course, any changes from this point on will largely be driven by the principal owner and by where they see the value for its core business, the agency auction market.
So where is this going? You know, two other stories today. Goldman Sachs is selling its New York Stock Exchange market-making unit to IMC Financial Markets. This is a high-frequency trading firm, so obviously they're deciding this isn't a business they want to be in. And another story, Bank of America is said to be dismantling an electronic market-making unit that was created last year to serve the Merrill Lynch Wealth Management Division. And one of the issues our reporters cite is increased regulatory scrutiny of U.S. stock markets and managers' concerns for a potential perception of conflict of interest killing the project. How do these stories shed light on the NYSE, where it is, where this whole area is going?
I think at the end of the day, when you look at the function that the New York Stock Exchange market making business has, its relevance and the return on equity associated with it, it's small potatoes. It's small potatoes for the ICE. It's small potatoes for many of these larger global financial concerns, and it's not a priority in terms of where money can best be invested. It's nothing more than the evolution of the market and the evolution of market structure. And at the end of the day, how much money is what's the return on investment in money that is being spent in that market model? And it's becoming increasingly less relevant.
So, broad thoughts, Peter, for the coming quarter?
I would love to see, as I think most people would like to see, some continued firmness in the data that will eventually lead to better earnings or more positive earnings growth. And I think that, you know, the U.S. leading indicators rose in April for a fourth straight month. We are still seeing that sort of acceleration in growth, and the conference board is giving us some reason to feel optimistic about the future and Q2 earnings, which, of course, we will not see for a few months. But at the end of the day, it's a positive tone to the economic story, and that will manifest itself in earnings, I suspect.
What about the bond market? We got that 10-year note, 2.55. You know, the range seems to be even narrower than, say, you know, 2.5 to 3. Maybe, gosh, 2.5 to 2.75 now. Is that how long is the 10-year note going to stay there, and what does it make a difference for stocks?
I think it makes a difference for stocks, but I almost think as though the bond market trades in a sort of a detached universe right now from the equity markets. I think that the bond market is very, very relevant to equities in terms of when the motion starts, when the trade starts, when trend starts getting established. But I think we've seen 2.5 on the 10-year, and 2.5 seems to be the point at which it does not want to go beyond, at least at the moment.
Okay.
And if that is the case, you continue to see economic strength or accelerating growth here in the U.S., we will see the market move higher.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.